Good morning to everyone, Yisher Koach, Dr. Daniel. I hope everyone is well. I wanted to deal this morning with a topic that you would say, Rabbi, there is impossible you have anything to say on it. This is like the most mundane thing we do in shul. There's nothing more physical with no spirituality in shul than the picture you see on the screen. And what is the picture that you see on the screen? Hagba, what could be a shir about Hagba? How can you even insert lumdus into Hagba?
It's very uplifting.
Pardon?
I said it's very uplifting.
It's an uplifting shir, says Harold. Absolutely. It would be an uplifting shir about Hagba. I'm going to use that in your name, Harold. So to make a long story short, the reason I'm dealing with Hagba this morning is simply because I believe in two things. Number one, I fully believe that if we do it in shul, then it has significance. And even if we, to the naked eye, believe that there's nothing to it, you pick it up and you put it down. And the only thing you have to worry about is not dropping it. Well, I'm saying that if we do it in shul, it must have significance, and we should look for that significance, even if to us, to the naked eye, it looks like the most insignificant action we do in shul. Shmaz, up there.
There are some rules on how you're supposed to do it.
Correct, and we're going to get to it. That's number one. Number two, this week was the first Yahrzeit of a very special man. His name was Dr. Barry Ross, Zichrono Livracha. He was my gabbai back in the day when I was in Halifax, and I was privileged this year to publish a book called Musings of a Minyanair in his memory. And he, of all people, because he was a gabbai, was very attuned, amongst many things, to what deters people from coming to shul. He was the ultimate minyanair. He was someone that looked after the minyan. And one day he comes up to me and he says, Rabbi, I think you should look at this. And he shows me something that I never thought of, really never thought of. And here it is on the screen. If you look on the left side of the screen, there's an article from 2018. He showed it to me beforehand in the name of someone else, but it's the same idea. The name of the article is a question and answer with a psychologist named Chaim Niehoff. And someone asked him the following question. I would like to get your opinion on something. I am afraid to do Hagba. I should be strong enough, but I just have this fear that I will drop it. I will usually duck out of shul when it's time for Hagba, so the gabbai won't approach me and ask me. So we see a gentleman who comes to shul, comes to minyan, and is dead terrified of one thing. What is he terrified of? That they'll ask him to do Hagba. Now he says, I'm probably strong enough to do it, but we all know the scene. You try to pick it up, it falls a bit on the table. You don't have to fast yet. Then you pick it up, it starts moving. Everyone gets nervous. You don't want to be in that embarrassing situation. So this gentleman not only is fearful of it, but he goes a step further and he says, I duck out of shul when it's time for Hagba. Literally, I don't want to be in shul and be asked to do Hagba. Why? Because maybe my muscles are not in the right place. I don't lift weights as much. And when I saw this, I got very, very fearful that there are people that are coming to shul, and instead of shul, as Harold said, uplifting them spiritually, they're scared stiff. What are they scared stiff of? That they might ask him to do Hagba. Now, this may be an extreme person, something that's not the norm, but I'll be honest with you. I've heard this before, and I've heard the following as well. What kibudim do you not give to a Baal Tshuva? A person comes into shul, he's new to religious belief, he's new to the Jewish lifestyle. Which kibudim don't you give him, and which kibudim do you give him? You understand, Jeff, There's a balancing act. On the one hand, you want him to feel comfortable and part of everyone. You don't want him to feel different. On the other hand, you don't want to embarrass the guy. So if you look at the list here, there's a few things that this gentleman in this particular website you see in front of you came up with. Leading benching, saying a bracha at sheva brachas, saying a rachaman at a bris, getting an aliyah in shul. Which ones don't you give him amongst them? Hagba. Hagba. And I'm sure you all know the old story of the gentleman that hasn't been in shul since his bar mitzvah, and finally, because of a nephew that's getting bar mitzvahed, he comes to shul. So they can't give him an aliyah, he doesn't remember the words. They obviously can't allow him to daven because he doesn't know how to read Hebrew anymore. Not much they can give him. So what do they give him? They give him glila. Glila, that could be the most harmless thing in the world. What do you have to do in glila? Well, he gets up there, he's all ready for glila, and the gabbai tells him, all right, roll the Torah. He knows how to do that. Next, put the belt on. Where does he put the belt on? On his waist. Where else do you put the belt? So he takes the belt and he puts it around himself. No, on the Torah. Okay, puts it on the Torah. He puts the cover on the Torah and then there's a crown. They say, put it on. Puts it on, he puts it on his head. So Hagba, even though it looks harmless, can embarrass people and can make people very fearful. On the other hand, and as much as we're smiling by that story, you could understand how bad that person felt and how the whole shul had a chuckle because of at his behalf. Well, you have it there. On the other hand, when you get the shul and you say, all right, what's the most harmless thing you can do? If the chazan's no good, everyone's going to complain. But Hagba, no one's going to complain about. Well, it turns out that Hagba should be the biggest kibbutz you give people. In other words, even though we tend to give it to the someone who doesn't know too much, he doesn't know how to daven, he doesn't know how to lane, he doesn't know how to maybe even have an aliyah, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Gadol Shebeotam Shekaruba Torah Golilo, the most biggest person in the crowd, maybe the biggest Gadol Batorah, the biggest donor, should get the one who gets Glilo. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, where I live in Tzfat, Verigilim Liknoto Bedamim Yekarim Lechabev HaMitzvah. This is the kibud that when you sell aliyahs goes for the most.
Why do we have the
midhav
nowadays to give it to a katan?
Very not Hagba. We're talking about Hagba, not Glila.
You said Glila.
Oh, so when the Shulchan Aruch mentions Golilo, he means Hagba. He doesn't mean Glila. He's working off the Gemara on the last daf, literally the last amud of Masechet Megillah, that says that the person that does Hagba, as the Mishnah Berurah brings, notel schar kulam. He gets the sachar for everyone. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, Kedai shahagadol yehiyeh mechubad b'mitzvah zehu, Kedai shehu yikabel sachar. So we think of Hagba as a menial, physical act. That's the way we started this year. Turns out it's the biggest kavod, bigger than laning, bigger than an aliyah. This is the biggest kavod, says the Maharsham. Ve'ra'ayala davar. In the middle of a tshuva, he's talking about something else. He says, hey, by us, glila, which means hagba by us, that's the biggest kavod. Again, glila here means hagba, but that's the biggest kavod. Not an aliyah, but rather hagba. So we have a very interesting clash, as we do many times in halacha. On the one hand, if you look at the sources, the books, Okay, Bruce doesn't know anything. He never went to shul in his life. He just reads the books about Judaism. He finds out Hagba is the biggest kavod out there. And then he comes to shul. And who do they give Hagba to? To the guy that has muscles, doesn't even know how to read Hebrew. That's clash number one. Clash number two. It could very well be that we'd like to give Hagba to the biggest person in the crowd, to the biggest rabbi. There's only one problem, Bruce. Can you tell us what the problem might be? You, the Gabbai, may give him Hagba. The problem is, Mr. Rabbi spent all his life doing three things. Learning, so he has bad eyesight and a bad back. He usually has a belly because that's what rabbis have. And he doesn't necessarily have too many muscles. So you're going to follow the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Brura based on the last Amud in Megillah, and you're going to give him the biggest kavod Hagba. What's going to happen? He's going to get up there. Here I am. And he's going to pick up the Torah. And then Jeff, instead of this being a kavod, 100 people are going to have to fast because he dropped the Torah. Being a great rabbi doesn't mean you got great muscles, correct? So therefore, we have a clash here. We have a clash between what it says in the books versus what happens in reality. I'm going to add to that, that people are scared stiff to be asked to do Hagba, even though it is a great kavod. Clash number three is, even though it's a great kavod, certain people are very scared to do it. And indeed, if you have to get a literary formulation of this clash, look at the Mishnah Brura in the name of the Sharei Ephraim on the bottom of the page. Says the Mishnah Brura in the name of the Sharei Ephraim, She'ein Azgan, here means Gabbai in our Hebrew, the Gabbai, Era Gabbai, Rashai Lechabed B'mitzvat Hagba, Lemi She'yadav Rotchin Harbe. Does anyone know what that means? So we know in modern Hebrew, Reticha means boil. When you boil water and it boils, that's Reticha. But Rotchin, Yadav Rotchin means shaky hands. You can't give Hagba to someone that Lo Aleinu Rachmana Litzlan has Parkinson's. Why not? Why not? He's going to drop it. Ole zakein v'tashkocho shiyadua shumakbiyo l'shevet miyad ke'en lo koach l'achzika zman ma klapei ha'am. You can't give it to someone without muscles. I want to give it to the biggest rabbi. He doesn't have muscles. I want to give it to the Baal Tshuva to try to say b'makom sheba'alei tshuva omdim. Ein tzadik gamur yachol la'amod. I want to mekayim that gemara and say you're the biggest gadol. In this tzibor, we're all FFBs, but you're a BT? If he doesn't know how to do Hagba, he's going to drop it. So you have a clash built in any shul. We don't view Hagba as a big kavod, and yet the Gemara and the Poskim do. We want to give it. If we say it is a big kavod to the biggest guy, he may not be able to do it physically. So Hagba is indeed one of the many examples of a clash between what I call halachic preference and Jewish reality. I'm going to repeat that again, Avi. Halachic preference and Jewish reality. You follow me, Arthur? What does that mean?
Why not get a small sefer Torah?
Hold on. Halachic preference is what it says in the books. Jewish reality is what happens in shul. Halacha lemaise. Why don't you get a small sefer Torah? Well, Harold, as we used to say, in the name of the Shach has a beautiful little, very small and brief way of how to paskining halacha in Yoredeya. And the Shach says, for every chumrah, every kula, you get to a chumrah, and every chumrah, you get to a kula. So Harold says, get a small sefer Torah. That's a good idea for Hagba. What's the problem with that, Harold?
You have to be able to see the word.
You're not going to be able to see the word. So there's a clash right there and then. So gentlemen, we may think Hagba is a nothing, it's just a physical act. You see here, there's a clash between who should get Hagba versus who in reality gets Hagba. So let's try today to understand what Hagba's all about. We all have seen the scene. The guy picks up the Torah. Everyone puts their little pinky there, says whatever they say. And that's ultimately what's done. Let's try to understand it a bit more because it's an issue. It's an issue. The Shulchan Aruch says this is what happens during Hagba in the red on the top of the screen. Mareh pnei ktivat sefer Torah la'am, ha'omdim li'imino v'lismolo. You show the words of the Torah to the people in shul that are standing on the left and on the right. And therefore the person that gets Hagba, what does he do? Usually he doesn't just pick it up, he turns around so everyone can see it. Shemitzvah kol ha'anashim ve'nashim lirot haktav. Everyone, men and women, should see what the Torah says. Ve'lichroa, and you shall bow. Open parentheses. Did anyone ever see anyone bow when they do Hagba? Anyone?
What do you mean by bow?
Bow means when they pick up the Torah, you bow. You bow va'anachnu korim u'mishtachavim u'modim analeinu. You bow during the Amida. Did you bow when they pick up the Torah and they show it to everyone?
Yes.
You did. You do.
When they first pick it up, they bow down over it.
No, you looking at it. Did you bow? The person looking at it. No. Well, this is what the Shulchan Aruch says, building off Masechet Sofrim. The Shulchan Aruch does not say anything about the pinky. So the bowing, no one does. The pinky, everyone does. Very interesting point of, again, halachic preference in Jewish reality. Velomar vezota Torah, many do that. And then he adds a pasuk Torah Tashem Tmima. And then the Rama says, we do Hagba after laning. The Shulchan Aruch does it before laning. Why does the Rama say we do it after laning? Because of the following. Well, certain people did learn Maseches Megillah. Did anyone here learn Maseches Megillah in their life? They learned Maseches Megillah. Baruch Hashem, Arthur learned it. Bruce, you learned it? LeBruce learned it as well. And he gets to the end there where it says that the guy who does Hagba gets Char Kulan. And they decide, hey, I just learned all the laws of Kriyat HaTorah. And I learned the laws of Kriyas HaMegillah. And at the end of it all, it says the most important thing is Hagba. So I'll tell you what, says the Shayarei Knesset HaGdola. I'll come to Shul just for Hagba. You may think this is crazy, but that's exactly what he says. Mipnei Sha'amon Ha'am Choshvim. Shiriyat Sefer Torah, Adif Mikriya. Many people think, in error, that Hagba is more important than laning. And therefore they stay outside and they schmooze and they go to the Kiddush Club, but they come back for Hagba. Hagba's important. Therefore, the Rama says we do Hagba after laning. So people will stay in for the entire laning. That's just a commercial break. Why do we do Hagba? There's two reasons given. We're going to call these reasons today, for the sake of this shiur, the green reason and the orange reason. Let's start with the green reason. The one who promulgates the green reason is the Rashba. This is really, really a machlokas rishonim, and the Rashba says, why do we do Hagba? Says the Rashba, Kol zeh mikvot sefer Torah. Why do we do Hagba? It's a means to show respect to the Sefer Torah. How do you show respect to a great rabbi or someone that's very, very elderly? How do we show respect, gentlemen?
You stand up.
That's a halacha d'oraisa. You stand up. I'm always amazed. I'm in shul. A 90-year-old walks in and nobody stands up for him. And yet a rabbi, a schnook, who's 25, everyone stands up for.
Rabbi Tabori once gave a shiur in the Beis Medrash camp. My father was there, and he told him when he walks in, they have to stand up for him.
Beautiful. Zechrona Levracha, my Rebbe Rav Tabori said, reminded everyone of a mitzvah d'oraisa. And indeed, the Levush quotes the Rashba and says, Magbi'in ota laharot la'am lahagdil ulechabev ota. So from our perspective, a means of showing respect to the Torah is to do Hagba. We don't just read from the Torah and put it away. We pick it up, we show everyone it, and that shows respect to the Sefer Torah.
Can it also be because you want everybody to see the Sefer Torah that you just linked from?
1 second. That's not what the Rashba said. The Rashba said that just showing respect to the Torah is picking it up and showing everyone. That's respect. However, there's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi quotes one of the parts of the Torah that no one here in this shiur likes to quote. And that is, the klolot. We all know that in twice in the Torah, there are curses. Parshat Bechukotai and Parshat Ki Tavo. And you all know the story about the famous city in Poland where nobody wanted that aliyah. It was such a harsh aliyah, no one wanted it. So finally, they're looking outside, the gabbai, the rabbi, the president, and they see Shmuel the Shmumil. You ever hear Shmuel the Shmumil? Shmuel the Shmumil, he doesn't know much. Shmuel the Shmumil, what does he do? He's a schlepper, he schleps water. And they look at Shmuel with a big smile, said, Shmuel, have we got a job for you? And Shmuel the Nebuch goes, what's the job? Oh, we're going to give you an aliyah on Shabbos and we're going to pay you for it. Oh, Shmuel goes home. He's so happy. Shabbos morning comes. Jeff, Shmuel is nowhere to be found. So, Baruch Hashem, Arthur's the chazan for Shachris. He prolonged Shachris a bit. Very slow Kedusha, sings, yenches. No Shmuel. The Gabbai starts laning. The Gabbai is already at the Bima with the Torah. Not much he can do. The rabbi gives a speech. No Shmuel. So they have to start laning. Finally, before that sixth aliyah, Shmuel comes running in, panting. They say, Shmuel, where were you? And Shmuel answers, what did you think? I can make a living out of one klala? Shmuel went around to all the shuls. Every shul saw, oh, we're going to give it to the Shlomiel. The Shlomiel was very smart. He made a living on the klolos. So we don't like the klolos, but the klolos are part of the Torah, and we should learn them from time to time. And one of the klolos is Arur, Ashelo Yakim et Divrei HaTorah Hazot. Literally, cursed is the person that does not pick up this Torah. In the pshat of it, it means something else. But the Yerushalmi adds the interpretation of Chazal, saying, V'chiyesh Torah nofelet? What, the Torah's falling down, you have to pick it up? So Shimon ben Yakim Omer, Zeh Chazan Shehu Omer. This is the Chazan, the guy who picks up the Torah for Hagba. Says the Ramban on the Chumash right there in Parshat Kitavo. Velini Ren, I believe, Al HaChazan She'ino Mekim Sefer Torah Al HaTzibor, Laharot Pnei Ktivato Lakol. This curse is about a shul which lanes, albeit does not pick up the Torah to show everyone what's written in there. Shemitzvah lechol hanashim vehanashim lirot hakatuv. It's a mitzvah for everyone to see what's written. Now, can you please tell me the difference between the Rashba and the Ramban? The green and the orange? If it's only kavod, you don't have to see the letters. Very good, Jeff. Yeah. And if it's to see the letters, what does it remind you of?
A
little Har Sinai,
maybe.
A little Har Sinai. New, getting closer. Harold said it earlier, you have to see the letters. Do you remember something else in laning that says you have to see the letters?
You point to the spot where you're
going
to
lay. Ah, when I get an aliyah, right before I say the bracha, I don't say it on air. The guy who's laning shows me the place. So maybe this Ramban says, this is not kavod to the Sefer Torah. This is the laws of laning. Just like you see the words before you get an aliyah. That's only for the 3 or the 4 or the 5 or the 6 or the 7 people that get the aliyah. The entire tzibor has to now see the letters, either before or after the laning. And that's what we do via Hagba. It's a law of laning. It's not Kavod Sefer Torah. Kavod Sefer Torah is standing up for it, not showing your back to it, putting it in an Aron Kodesh. That's Kavod. But Hagba? Hagba is a law of laning. That just like everyone who gets an Aliyah has to see where you're starting from, the entire Tzibur as well has to see the letters. Yes. Questions? We'll get to that, Bruce, in a few minutes.
It's interesting, you get the Sephardim, with the Sephardim, I sometimes talk with the Sephardim, and I'm waiting, they open up the can, and they're rolling it, looking for the spot to start.
We'll get to that, Jeff, in a few minutes, exactly.
With his yad, is pointing to the spot.
You're all getting closer. Very good. Very good. You're all talking about it. You're saying, if it's not kavod, how much letters do I need to see? Which part of it? This is all the questions that we're going to deal with. Yes, Arthur.
I thought Hagman had to do with Ezra. In Nehemiah, I think it's about 7-8, where Ezra opens up the Torah in front of everyone, and all the people, he shows it to the people, and they rise.
So there are those that bring that as a source. I personally don't believe it's the source, because the majority of poskim bring that episode in Ezra as a source for laning per se. Namely, he opened the Torah to lane. It was Rosh Hashanah. That's when the temple opened up for services. Nice idea. You open up for the high holidays. And he opened up the Torah. And he started to read. And everyone started to cry because they found out they're all a bunch of sinners. Right? That's the episode in Ezra. So most bring that not so much as a source for Hagbah, but rather a regular source for laning per se. Okay? But you're right, it's in there. However, if you want to go with Arthur, then obviously it has nothing to do with respect. It has to do with laning per se. Namely, one of the laws of laning is everyone has to see the letters of the Sefer Torah, whether you get an aliyah or not. You don't have to see it as careful as the guy who gets an aliyah, but you have to see it. So let's see some nafkaminas between what I call the green and the orange. Namely, is it kavod, respect, or is it a law of laning? Let's see. First nafkamina. What part of Hagbah do you need to do when you pick up the Torah? Can you just pick it up anywhere? Says the Sha'arei Ephraim. The ein liglo a sefer Torah. La ha'amidal chetzia o karovla. Bichtei la hakel al yatzmo shu Torah hatzibur. So we all know that there's twice a year where the righty or the lefty feels great. Right? Around Simchas Torah, like the picture here on the screen, the lefty feels like he's on top of the world. Am I correct? No, opposite. The righty, because most of the Torah is on the right side, because we're at Zot HaBracha. And then, right after Simchas Torah, we roll the Torah to the beginning. And then, all of a sudden, the lefty feels like he's on top of the world. So says the Sha'arei Ephraim, if you give Hagbah to a righty or a lefty and he says, aye, the Torah's in the wrong place, can you roll it to a place where it's easier for me? Says the Shai Ephraim, no, but in O'ela, lo sheyesh tzorech badavar, shekashel agbiya b'inyan acher. But if it's extremely difficult to pick up, you can move it. Disagrees with him, Rav Yitzchak Yehuda Yechiel Saprin, in a book called Shulchan HaTorah on the Shulchan Aruch. He says, his years 1806 to 1874, Sha'arei Ephraim, a generation before him, died in 1828. Sha'arei Ephraim Algaliot says you could move the Sefer Torah to a more convenient spot, but says the Shulchan HaTorah, Rav Saprin, v'yizaher, shelo liglo Sefer Torah l'makom acher, ki chayav laharota otiyot, Shekara otam. Now look at these two pictures. Now you tell me. The picture on the bottom there where the Torah is at Vizot HaBracha. That's a Achnasat Sefer Torah, as you all probably know. Right? Because it's dark outside, why would they be doing Hagbah at night? The only time they're doing Hagbah at night is Simchas Torah night, and then we shouldn't have a picture of it. At least we shouldn't. And Achnasat Sefer Torah. So they just finished writing the Torah. They're about to do the big parade to Shul, and they're doing Hagbah, right? Now, I can promise you that because no one here is wearing a strimal, I'm pretty sure that it's not Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Namely, it's not Zot HaBracha time. But they just finished that particular part of the Torah. They do Hagbah anywhere they please, like the Sha'arei Ephraim. After all, the guy's doing Hagbah opposite. It makes a whole scene, right? If it's convenient, if there's a need for it, says the Sha'arei Ephraim, it's okay. The picture on the left side, on the other hand, Avi, is a little different. Alex, if you look at the picture on the left side, what do you see? So as Jeff said, I daven with the Sephardim sometimes. Here's a Sephardi Sefer Torah, Jeff. And what is the guy doing Hagbah doing? He's picking up the Torah. But he doesn't do Hagbah alone. He has his assistant do what? Takes the yad, and what's he doing? What is he pointing to?
The laning.
the laning of that day. This is exactly our machlokas. If it's just kavod for the Sefer Torah, anywhere you pick up the Torah is fine. So Tabracha, Bereshit, Vayikra, anywhere you want to pick it up in Tazria Mitzorah, also okay. It's all part of the Torah. Maybe boring for some of us to learn Tazria Mitzorah, but it's part of the Torah. It shows respect. But if you're going to say it's not a function of respect, it's one of the laws of laning, you can't show any laning. You have to show the laning of that day. And not just show it, but as you could see here, point to it. And therefore, as Jeff said, when the Sfardim do Hagba, they're like the Ramban, that it's a law of laning. And if it's a law of laning, not enough to pick it up anywhere. You have to pick it up in that spot. And you have to point to it. So everyone knows, hey, this is where we're laning today. It's a law of laning. Just like a guy about to get the Aliyah, he's going to start and see where you're going to start laning that Aliyah. Here is our machlokas right here. Can you do Hagba anywhere you please? Or do you dafka have to do it where they're laning that day, just like right before an Aliyah? Is it a law of laning? Or is it Stam Kavod Sefer Torah?
But are you supposed to do Hagba by Yassim?
We'll get to it in a minute. And we'll have to analyze why do we do it by the seam. You're right. Harold's 100% correct. You have to do it by the seam. We'll have to see why. Yes. Question. I heard someone in the background there.
What did Harold say?
Harold said you have to do Hagba by the seam. You can't do Hagba.
By the seam. The seam.
The seam. Okay. Next, Nafkamina. Is it Kavod? Or is it actually a law of laning? So the first nafkamina is, do you have to do Hagba dafka in the laning of that day? Second nafkamina, coming right up. Hagba for someone that can't be getting an Aliyah. Says the Mate Ephraim, that same of Ephraim Margaliot, in a different book on the Shulchan Aruch. Ein korin la'alot l'sefer Torah, rak mi shebedato lihitanot ula hashlim. So on a fast day, you cannot give Hagba to someone who is not fasting. You can only give Hagba to someone who's fasting. It's a known law. We won't get into it now. And says the Mate Ephraim, V'davka la'alot likro b'Torah. Aval la'agbiya v'liglola sefer Torah. Ein la'agbid v'yecholim mechabed Hagba v'klila af l'mi shelo yitaneh. What does the Mata Ephraim say? That's for an Aliyah, but Hagba, anyone can do. Disagrees with him the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Nini Ra, the Shum Kibbut, en litein lemisha eino mitaneh, says Rav Epstein in the Aruch HaShulchan. This is already two generations, I believe, after Rav Ephraim Margaliot, because the Aruch HaShulchan hit the 20th century. Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi of Norvadik, Rav Epstein says, you can't give anything to someone not fasting, including Hagba, Glila, and Otzah Machnasa. Taking out the Torah, putting in the Torah, Hagba, Glila, only people that are fasting. What's the machlokes between them? I believe the same machlokes. If it's just respect to the Torah, anyone can get it. But if it's a law of laning, namely, just like the guy getting an Aliyah has to see where we're laning from, so too the whole Tzibor, then it has to be someone that theoretically and potentially can get an Aliyah. It can't be anyone. It has to be someone that's fasting on that fast day. Namely, if you look at the picture on the screen, Alex, what do you see? Certain people will be listening to this shiur online, so they don't see the screen, so let's describe it. What do you see? You see a police officer picking up the Torah for Hagba. Well, what is he? He's arresting the Torah. Now, I'm assuming he's doing Hagba, not arresting the Torah. What does he paskin like? Let's assume this police officer is not Jewish, because he's not wearing Talis Tefillin, so they just gave him a kavod. What's the kavod? to pick up the Torah. So he has good muscles. After all, he's a police officer. He has to beat up the bad guys. So, gentlemen, what is he somech on? Is Hagba a law of laning, or is Hagba just kavod?
Kavod. It looks like just kavod.
Kavod, because he's not, maybe not even Jewish, for sure. He's not fasting, and they're giving him Hagba. That's if it's kavod. But if it's a law of laning, it has to be someone that potentially can lane. What is this like? It's like another halacha that I'm sure you know. A Kohen, as you know, can only marry certain Jews. He cannot marry any Jew. One of the Jews that he can't marry is a woman who unfortunately had relations with someone she's not allowed to. Namely, what the halacha calls nivala lapasul la. She had relations with someone that she's not allowed to potentially marry. What does that mean in Jewish? A woman can marry any Jew. So what does it mean she had sexual relations with someone who she cannot marry?
Okay.
She slept with a non-Jew. If she slept with a non-Jew, she can't marry a Kohen. But if she slept with a Jew out of wedlock, meaning they didn't get married, not a grusha, but out of wedlock, not a good thing, usser, but could she potentially marry him? Yes. Therefore, she did not nivala lepasula. She could potentially marry him. Same thing with Hagba. You have to give it, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, to someone who potentially can get an aliyah, even though he didn't. Not to someone who potentially cannot get an aliyah. So if according to this, can you give it to a bar mitzvah, a poray under bar mitzvah? He can't have an aliyah. The Aruch HaShulchan would say no. The Mata Ephraim would say, it's just kavod. Kavod, you can give it to anyone who has muscles.
Wait a second. I simplest story give somebody not bar mitzvah an aliyah.
That's a whole another story. Can you give? Very good.
If he had the dot to be able to say the bracha, he give him an aliyah.
So Harold just ruined my nafkamina. I said, due respect. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah Daf Kaf Gimel that you can give a katan an aliyah, because eventually he will be able to get an aliyah. So this whole lump just goes down the drain, because a katan theoretically, potentially, can get an aliyah. We don't do it. We don't do it for various reasons. You should know on Simchas Torah, we're machmir for this. Why, Harold? Because we only give a katan an aliyah after we read the five aliyahs, meaning the hosafot we give him. But the first five we don't give him. In any case, you understand, if it's a law of laning, only a person who potentially can get an aliyah, that person can get Hagba. But if it's a law of respect, anyone can get it. And this leads me to a third nafkamina, Hagba by the seam, or what I call the tefer. You can look here in the picture. Here is a Sefer Torah. Here is the seam. The seam is sewn together with thread and needle. So you have a Sefer Torah, has to be written on a cloth, it has to be written with certain ink, and it has to have in such a way that you sew together the various parts. Namely, you cannot write a Sefer Torah on one long cloth. That's a law of writing a Torah. Says the Shulchan Aruch, from our perspective, Hagolel Sefer Torah, when you do Hagba, Yamideno Keneged HaTefer, you have to do it by the seam. So we saw earlier, you have to do it approximately where you start leaning. But the second law is, you have to balance that out with the seam. So we're supposed to open, as you see here in the picture, three Amudot, three pages of the Sefer Torah when you do Hagba. So therefore, it's very important that you try to do these two things, namely, on the one hand, where you start leaning, but also open it up to the tefer. You can't always pull that off, but you should try.
You know why, Yoshua?
Who says why?
You know why.
Who's talking?
Alex,
do I know why? Why don't you share it with us? I'm about to tell you why. It's on the screen, but go right ahead.
Because you shouldn't rip. If you rip, you should rip by the seam.
Ah, very good. Says Alex, Rabbi, do respect, that's the technical law. How does the Shulchan Aruch explain it? He says, in order for it not to rip, look at the Beit Yosef, which is at the precursor to the Shulchan Aruch, same author, Upirish Rashi, Shiyamidenu ala tefer keneged atefer, Shesham ra'oi lahat ko yafeh, says Rashi, the reason is, when you wrap it, it should wrap well. And when you put it around the tefer, it wraps much better than if you do glila in the middle of nowhere. Technical reason, Shulchan Aruch quotes this regarding something else, we'll get to it in a moment. But the second reason given is exactly what Alex just said, technical as well. So one reason is to tighten it well. The second reason is, forget about tightening it well, we're worried about it ripping. Beis Yosef says in the name of the reef, Shahatam, Bipnei She'im Yikara, Yikara Batefer. As you all know, if you're going to rip the Torah in the middle here, it's going to be a big problem to fix. You're going to have to write this whole thing again. But if it rips on the seam, all you got to do is re-sew the seam, and you're fine. So says the reef, that's the reason. Nothing to do, not with the laws of laning, not with the laws of this. It's all about kavod. How do we keep the Sefer Torah intact? How do we keep a Sefer Torah intact? By doing Hagba in such a way that if it rips, it rips on the seam. And then Glila, says Rashi, if you do it on the Tefer, it tightens well. Not so, in my opinion, according to the Rav. Rav Soloveitchik suggested a total different reason for doing Hagba on the Tefer. And I'm just going to quote the Shulchan Aruch first. We all said it today that before you get an Aliyah, Upoteach HaSefer Kodem SheYivarech, Ve'ru'eh HaPasul SheTzarich LaAtchil Bo. So you all know the procedure. You're getting Aliyah, Yamod, Arthur, and Marat HaMachpelah. Arthur's all excited. He's getting an Aliyah in Marat HaMachpelah. We're reading about Marat HaMachpelah and these Parshas. This guy got buried there. Oh, he's getting an Aliyah. He gets up there. He's about to say the bracha. He's all excited. He's going to bless God, the blessed, Baruch Hu et Hashem Amvorach. Lehner says, hold on, Arthur. I see you're excited, but we got a procedure here. Protocol calls for what? What do? You open the Torah, and you have to see where you start laning. Many people then see it and give it a kiss with their talis, correct? But you have to see. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Then comes the machlokes that never got resolved. The Gemara in that last Amud and Megillah brings two dayot. What do you do next? Now let's do a little commercial break. What do you do next? Do you close the Torah and make the bracha, or you leave it open? Okay, how many people around this table leave it open?
Leave it open.
All right, how many people close it? All right, you're supposed to leave it open three amudim when you do the bracha?
No.
Never resolved machlokas. Some people close it because you may say the brachot are written in the Torah. Some people leave it open for various reasons and look the other way. The Ramah says to look to the left. That's what I do. That's never been resolved. But everyone agrees, before you make the bracha, even though Arthur's very excited, Marasa Machpelah, Aliyah, Baruch Hashem, Arthur, protocol, look where we're starting to lane. What did I say earlier? Hagma? Maybe it's a law of laning. You have to see the words before you start laning or after you lane. Says Rav Soloveitchik, why is there a halacha to do Hagma by the seam? So we saw maybe it's out of respect to the Torah. It shouldn't rip or it should be tightened. Says Rav Soloveitchik, a totally different reason. You ready for this? This is brought by Rav Herschel Schechter in his book, Pnine Harav. And he says, the Lehechsher HaSefer Torah, Ba'inan Sheyenichta Ba'yiriyot Nifradot. In order to make a kosher Sefer Torah, you can't write it on one big cloth. Namely, one of the halachas of the Sefer Torah is that you have to write it on separate pages and then sew it together to become one. You cannot get a very big cow, or whatever they make cloth from, make cloth out of it and write it like a Megillat Esther. Absolutely not. You have to write it on separate amudot. Ve'afilu yikach ha-sofer klaf kadol me'ol ve'ichtov kol ha-torah kula. Bikitat Dakameod Al Yiriyahat Yeshlomar Shalo Yesefer Torah Kosher, the Lehechsher Sefer Torah Bainam Bidavka, She Yushama Yiriyot Nifradot. So says Rav Soloveitchik, why do you do it on the scene? You ready? To show everyone that this is a kosher Sefer Torah. How do you show everyone's a kosher Sefer Torah? Look at the picture. First of all, the ink is black. Halacha number one. Done. Check. Number two. Are there spaces? There's spaces. Halacha number two. Done. Number three. This used to be the case. No longer. I think they changed the way they make cloth. It used to be every Sefer Torah had an odor. Right? So when they did Hagbah, you smelled the odor. That's no longer true. But number three, does it have a tefer or doesn't it have a tefer? Look at the picture. It has a tefer. Says Rav Soloveitchik, that's the reason. The reason is not kavod, to make sure it's tightened or to make sure it doesn't rip. It's to show the people that it's a kosher Sefer Torah. Just like, I'm adding, when you open the Sefer Torah before an aliyah, you see, it's a kosher Sefer Torah. It has the words of that aliyah. You're about to say, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Leimor, and it's written in the Torah. So it's not a law of respect. It's a law of laning. Just like you look at it before an aliyah, you also look at it in general and see it's a kosher Sefer Torah. So we saw today, gentlemen, that Hakba can be one of two reasons. Either respect, or it's a law of laning. And we gave nafkaminas, because you can make any chakira you want, but if you can't bring nafkaminas, it's a waste of all your time. The chakira is it respect or a law of laning? And we brought three nafkaminas. What was the first nafkamina? Do you have to see that day's laning or not? Or can you do hagba anywhere you want? Nafkamina number two, can a guy not fasting do hagba? And nafkamina number three, why do we do it on the seam? Is it out of respect of the Torah or no? It's to show it's a kosher Sefer Torah, just like you do before an aliyah. It's a law of laning. Gentlemen, this is Hagba in general. Now I want to get back to the beginning of the shiur. What did I say at the beginning of the shiur? I said that when it comes to Hagba, we have a built-in problem. What's the built-in problem? The built-in problem is that we want to give it to the biggest person in the shul, he may not have the muscles to do it. I'm going to add now a different problem. We just saw Hagba, Machloket Rishonim, what it's all about. We saw Nafkaminas. We gave a few jokes about it. We saw, hey, Hagba, even though it looks pretty physical, bottom line is, it's a major thing. Namely, what's the problem with this picture right here on the screen? More than three columns. I'm going to give everyone a little story. In the year 2002, after 2 years of Rosh Hashanah being on Shabbos, and then again, 2 years of Rosh Hashanah being on Shabbos, all of a sudden Rosh Hashanah was on Tuesday. It was like a dream come true, because it was the first time in 2 years that we blew shofar on the first day Rosh Hashanah. Because we didn't do it in 2 years. Now, let's add to that. Many of us don't like Yomim Tovim in the middle of the week. Some of us do. I like Yomim Tovim in the middle of the week. I like to show my kids Yom Tov is different than Shabbos. The only way to show that, if it doesn't come out on Shabbos. So from this perspective, we only eat two meals and not three, and we can cook and transfer fire, and there's many other things we do. Not to mention the fact I like those weeks, like this year, where it's broken up. Every 2 days a Yom Tov, another 2 days a Shabbos. It's good for me. Many people don't like it. Because people were so excited after 2 years of not having it, I heard at the Kotel that there was a bunch of Breslover Hasidim, all excited, and they started to dance and sing right at the beginning of davening, you know, Moda Ani right away. I hope they said Moda Ani at home. So let's say Baruch Shamar, they're dancing and singing, and one guy's blowing shofar just for kicks. My Rebbe Rav Amital went ballistic because he basically said a very interesting line. And that is, why are you blowing shofar? You're blowing shofar because God said so. It's a spiritual act written and by the Torah. Or you're just doing it for kicks. Because if you're blowing shofar in the middle of Baruch Shamar, in the middle of Ashrei, then it's just for kicks. It's for your own spiritual uplifting and nothing to do with Judaism. We blow shofar at a certain time and in a certain place on Rosh Hashanah. Now, look at this picture and plug in that story. The halacha is you pick up the Torah, three columns. What is this guy doing?
Following the Mishnah Berurah. It says you can open it more if you can safely do it.
Okay, the Mishnah Berurah says it's okay. So that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it, look at their smiles. You see their smiles? First of all, you can well imagine, because of this particular thing here that I'm pointing to, it's Sukkos. So it's Man Simchateinu. And a guy wanted to make a little joke at the Kotel. So what did he do? He picked it up and he opened it up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 columns. And as you can see, everyone's laughing and they love it. If Hagbah's just a physical act, then do what you want. And if you want to just show respect, maybe also I can hear it. But if it's a halacha of laning, would anyone think of changing the way we give aliyahs? Namely, is Hagba just a physical act, or does it have substance to it? I started this year by saying this is like the most mundane thing we do in shul, Hagba. But we saw, there's substance to it. The Gemara says that's the guy who gets Sachar Kulan. There's a way of doing it, turning to the left, turning to the right, bowing, saying this, saying that. It's a spiritual halachic act. And the question I have is, are we treating it too mundane simply because we view it as a mundane act? And indeed, imagine you're one of the elders of the congregation or the biggest donor of the congregation or the rabbi of the congregation. And the rabbi comes up to you and says, do Hagba. Are you going to see that as an honor, or are you going to say, that's a disgrace to my honor? Well, if you look at the books, you see exactly what it is. It's a wonderful honor. It's a big honor. On the other hand, if you go ahead and just look at what people say, or as the Gemara says, Kedah Amrei Inshei, then this is a big disgrace. You're giving me Hagba? I should get the third Aliyah. I should get the sixth Aliyah. Chasidic, Litvakin. But you're giving me Hagba? Hagba's a garnish. Gentlemen, this is one of the many, many cases that I say Jewish reality is different from halachic preference. Halachic preference, Hagba has a lot of substance to it. Jewish reality, Hagba is like the most mundane, unimportant thing we do in shul. Laning, ooh, great. Aliyah, ooh, great. By the way, I'll just add here in the parentheses, I never understood for the life of me how come every single person that gets an aliyah gets a mishaberach, then he goes, sits down, everyone gives him a yashar koach like he did something unbelievable. The man said two blessings on the Torah that any 13-year-old monkey who shomer Shabbos can do. Oh, yashar koach, mishaberach, you should have atzlacha and bracha. Oh, amazing. You know what? I don't complain. You want to give a Jew a little respect? That's beautiful. You know what I complain about? What do we do for the laner? The laner didn't say two blessings. He laned a whole parsha. Does anyone give the same yashar koach to the laner? Does he even get a mishaberach? Garnished. So gentlemen, we have to have our heads on straight. We have to first of all look at reality. The laner does a much harder job. And number two, Hagba is a big thing. It's not a small thing. So you have to be careful to give it to the right person, and you have to be careful that that right person has muscles and knows how to do it. But quite frankly, even though we at times think Hagbas are nothing, we saw it has a lot of substance to it. And I end with exactly the story I just told. Are we doing mitzvot because it makes us feel good? Or are we doing mitzvot because it's part of the God-mandated Torah in which we all would like to get to spiritual heights? In other words, are we doing mitzvot because it just makes us feel good, which is important, amat mezalza, or are we doing it because God said so, and it's part of the halachically mandated lifestyle? And quite frankly, Hagba is one of the many examples of that. In the eyes of the people, it's a nothing. In the eyes of halacha, it's extremely important. And this, gentlemen, leads me to my shiur that hopefully I'll give next week, which won't be a regular shiur, and that will be on the topics that I'll pick that, God willing, you'll hear about next week. And that is, are we doing what we're doing because it makes us feel good? Or are we doing what we're doing because it's a halachically mandated, God-oriented Torah? Hagba, one of the many examples of that. It could be both, but you got to be careful to balance both.
The middle position is people do things out of mesorah. It doesn't make them feel good, and they don't do it for a mitzvah. They do it because they're mesorah.
Also something to be dealt with. Also something to be dealt with.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi Grossman.
Very good. Sure. Very good.
Take care, everyone. Have a good day and a good Shabbos. All the best.
Bye.